a much detailed question that you don't need to respond to. I want you to respond in writing. I would want to know the women in brown uniform, the women in brown uniform in the correctional services. Firstly, just to remind us, out of this close to 38,000, how many women in brown uniform do we have in DCS? All of them in total. And of those, how many are those in the management? And how many are your foot soldiers who are interacting on daily basis with these inmates? Thirdly, I'm interested to know, of these women in brown, what kind of support do they get in executing their work? The ones that interact with inmates on daily basis, what kind of infrastructure support, security support do they get? The question is being asked because one is picking up a sense of vulnerability.
Chair, sorry, you got frozen for a few seconds. Maybe you might want to go back a bit.
Okay, the end of freezer.
you freeze after I had asked what kind of support do they get as they perform their work.
Okay, so I was saying, what kind of support, kind of infrastructure support, security support do these women in brown get in these, but also to give the kind of breakdown in terms of the categories of these centers, whether it's your maximum and all of that. It will be important to get the details of those. The question is being asked because one sense is a level of vulnerability when it comes to their role and what they do. Even though the percentage which you have put down is 1% of these sexual allegations, it's 1%, it could be regarded as almost negligible or insignificant, but remains important because so far, hence vulnerability, the only report you're getting is that it is women in brown that are getting involved with intimately with the inmates. I have not had a different aspect where you are told the men in brown are also involved with women inmates. Hence, one is picking up there might be a sense of vulnerability because it seems that you don't have inmates forcing themselves or attacking or imposing themselves on women in brown. It comes across, even if it's this low percent, as some kind of an adventure. And hence, I'm picking up the issue of vulnerability. I would like to know that. The second point, Chair, has been raised just to add on to it. You are highlighting focus on the social reintegration, which is very important. But it does seem that we are having a big challenge on the main core, our core mandate, the core mandate of this department. The core mandate of this department is not incarceration. It's not any of the kind of other programs. The core mandate is rehabilitation. That's why we're correctional services and not prisons. That's the core mandate. It does seem that we're struggling on the core mandate because if we're to just take the 17,922 And we within that, and just take the 126, and we're not even going back before the 18,544 as corrected by the DM in terms of those parolees. It does seem, so if you take the 126, is that out of that 126, who re-offended, it does point to not necessarily the acts, because I can see you focusing on them not being accepted by families, not being accepted by communities, trouble with social integration. I think you needed to go back and say, at a time when they were being paroled, it does seem that they were not ready. They were not rehabilitated. When you look at the kind of acts they got involved, this is assault, this is murder, and seriously, multiple rapes, and so on. So it points to that core service. That and of course, we all are aware that out of the many centers that we have, very few are geared towards rehabilitation. We know that, and you can add overcrowding onto that. There seems to be a very big challenge on our core mandate of rehabilitation. And I'm just using the 126 as an example. And I think it will be important that we delve deeper into that. And certainly from as a chair here, it's something that we're going to have to attend to it, more, not necessarily to you responding to it now, but also Honorable Self, Ngola, and others have raised this question. I think the issue of the budget, we are going to have to, in terms of whether, as we go into the future, are we responding budget-wise on some of, whether it's social integration, rehabilitation issues, and so on. I just wanted to make those few comments. But in the main, my comment is saying we have a long way to go, Deputy Minister and Commissioner, in responding to our mandate. You can excel on everything else. It's like when all of you were at school or varsity, you were always told that you have a major that you needed to pass. I need to get one of the passes, all the new subject is, and fail your major. I'm getting a sense that we're struggling in terms of our core mandate. And I want you to leave, I want to leave you with that homework to think about. It's something that doesn't sit well with me. So many years after we declared that this is a core mandate, because you're never going to get the restorative justice when you don't attend to many of those issues. With that, I'll ask Commissioner for your final words, and then the DM will follow.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will look at all the issues raised, but specifically yours, Chair, we'll try to match the an adequate response to that. But I think what is true, Chair, is the fact that we are challenged as a department. We are trying, and I think that is the reason why we try to have a long-term outlook whilst we have medium-term targets that we set. On the second level, Chair, is we are also saying that there need to be greater interaction from the department side with some of our social departments, so that we deal with correction, not just at the tail end of a process, but that we try and correct behavior at the entry point, which is at the family level, the community level, at the schooling level. So those are things that we are challenging ourselves with, so that we look at how do we not just look internally at the issues that we need to deal with. And I think the engagement with this committee over this brief period here has really lifted us and challenged us to respond in a specific manner. I need to indicate, Chair, that apart from the rehabilitation programs, we are challenged by information that is not sufficient, that we are not getting sufficiently from the South African Police Service. And we have had engagement with the South African Police Service, where we are in the process of signing an MOU so that for rehabilitation programs, we need to understand the description of crime and the crime history of each offender. Because when we are dealing with rehabilitation, if we don't have that information, our response plan will be inadequate and will get repeat offending happening. So we are in a process to deal with that. But what it assists us with also, Chair, is that it allows us to see the victim at the beginning of the process. And therefore, community corrections will actually be part of our missions also. So as we evolve as a department, community correction is not going to be at the tail end only, but it's going to be at the beginning. When we deal with admissions, we will begin to facing with that. I thought it's important to reflect that. I think, Chair, there's also what we've agreed with the National Commission of Police is the fact that we want to develop protocols so that we don't have fragmented approaches developing in at the center level. I want to cite this because there's one case that we have not shared with you in the session. There's been a remand offender or a remandee, female remandee, that has been impregnated by a policeman while she has been in a facility. But what we discovered in this process is that the police officer collected the remandee and that sexual act happened outside our facility. So we are looking, so we had engaged with South African Police Service and they in the process of dealing with disciplinary matters in this regard. So I thought it's just important that we reflect that and that you don't see that in social media later and think we've not registered it with the committee. So we're following that up, Chair, but we want a clear protocol on how we deal and who can collect. So that protocol we are busy with. I think maybe what hasn't been clearly articulated is that the one of official in Durban management area, Durban Westville, that slept with an offender was a male. So we had him charged for rape. So he's criminally charged for rape while there is a disciplinary process that's taking place there. So because we feel that the offender is vulnerable and therefore we are moving from the perspective that it is more serious than consensual in the way. So we're looking at that matter. I thought that it's important that I just reflect that. Chairperson, I also thought that there was a question of whether we could or should repeat. I think I'd want the department to look at that because I think it's just more complex than just giving an immediate response if we could repeat the special dispensation. But what we are looking at here is the issue of our remandee population. Because that is really overcrowding in our facilities. If our facilities were just dealing with sentence offenders, wouldn't be overcrowded. And it means that we need to get our partners, both the police, the NPA, to come on board so that they either compress the time that they use to complete the investigation so that they can go to trial. But I think there's too much time spent with offenders in remand. And I think if we want to deal with overcrowding, I think if we do deal with the categories of inmates that must be incarceration for remand. Because I think what we are doing is we're getting minor offenses coming in and people are not released. So I think there's a need for us to look at that aspect. Chair, we take note of the committee's advice to say, let's look at how you communicate and communicate better on the issues that you are doing so that you provide assurance to society in terms of the work. So I note that, Chair. Chair, I think from where I'm sitting, I thank again the committee, yourself and the committee, for the leadership you provide to us, and we endeavor to deliver according to our mandate. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. DM, how do you do?
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, I don't think there's much that I can say after having listened to the members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as the officials, and lately the National Commissioner himself. We don't say it glibly when we express our appreciation for our interaction with yourselves as a committee. Because we know that as people who are in the Abasem scene, we sometimes are not able to observe some of the shortcomings that we have as we carry out our responsibilities. Hey, you don't know what's happening now yet. Yeah. I think I'm running out of the battery.
In our lomsi.
So I was saying, Chairperson, that we take into consideration and with due respect the views that are expressed by the committee on the work that we are doing. And we are indeed going to make sure that where we are required, as you have indicated in your closing, in your own contributions, we are going to provide written responses to some of what is required of us. But I take comfort from your remark to the effect that as a committee, you shall have to take a serious look at the budget that we have. Because, for instance, we took the decision to have the 19,000 deserving parolees out of our centers through the presidential party because of overcrowding. Now, the idea was that by the time these people were to be ready for release, they would have undergone the rehabilitation programs, only to find that the truth is that they were not all ready. And also it became difficult for us to come up with those programs in order for them to be released as soon as we would have wanted to. Because again, the restrictions of the lockdown prevented the performance of the kind of work that was required to ensure that they meet the criteria. So at the same time, as we were releasing them, there were those in any way who had to be released to correctional, to community corrections. And because of the normal processes that they had to follow. And that didn't mean therefore that there would be readily available space for the new release beneficiaries to come out. Hence we have had to rely on some of the halfway houses. And the fact also that we have to hire or lease accommodation from the private from private individuals is not doing as much good as a center, because you have to have full control of the premises that we have to use. You've heard, for instance, Chairperson, that we need the internet connection, and some of these centers need cables, and we're not in a position to provide those, to install those in premises that we do not own. So that's why I'm saying, therefore, that the kind of support we need from the committee regarding the budget is very much appreciated. It's very much important. Now, on the other issues, yes, the members are right that we shouldn't be talking much, spending a lot of time on training people to behave in a manner that is common sense. You don't have sexual relations with people you are working with, at, especially people who are under your care, if you like, people who are vulnerable. It's just totally unacceptable, and we wouldn't like to be seen as expending too much of the state resources on that. Question of discipline is the core in terms of the kind of work that we have to do, the kind of people we are as men and women in brown uniform. So as I'm saying, Chairperson, we take to heart all the advices that have been given to us, and we appreciate also the appreciation showed to the attempts that you have made to ensure that we do account properly to Parliament through the Portfolio Committee, especially when we are called upon to do so. On the matter of the point that I'm tempted to respond to some, but I don't think it's really necessary, but I can make a comment to Professor Msimang's point that the fact that there are so few that have been caught or detected is an indication of the ineffectiveness of our detection ways. I don't think that that should be the test as to whether or not we're effective or not. But again, the irony of it is that some of these people who have been found out have been, the information has come out because of the illegal possession of these gadgets by people inside the centers. Had there been no smuggling of that kind of phone, for instance, at Ngome, we would not have been aware of what had happened there. So it's a kind of a twisted situation where we get to have information because people have done something that is illegal. But again, we would need the guidance of the committee. Lastly, Chairperson, very importantly, on the matter of social integration, I think this is where we need the support of members of parliament from all parties. I think we would welcome invitations from members of parliament whenever they go to do their constituency work with their communities, so that they assist us in educating and making the public aware on the need for people who have undergone our rehabilitation programs in our correctional centers to be accepted, both by their families, the communities, as well as the business community. Because there's this tendency by people in general that if you have a criminal record, then you are automatically not entitled to work, to be employed, to be given business opportunities. And yet that is not the case. There are only specific instances where such people are not allowed, like within the Department of Correctional Services. My understanding is that the law does not allow us to re-employ those people. Yet everybody else is expected to do that. So that kind of education and awareness campaigns is necessary, so that it doesn't appear in the mind of the public that this is only a matter for the Department of Justice and Correctional Services in particular, that these people are released. It must be understood that it's a government policy that has to be promoted and accepted. Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members.
Thank you very much. Thank you, President Ndaba. As we close, I think Siya from the committee and Bonani, as well as the department, you might need to prepare this. We'll have to come back to this and put a spotlight on these three programs, focus on them: rehabilitation, social integration, and community corrections. We would like to come back to that, because the commission has started responding on some issues. We want a much more detailed discussion on that, so that you come back and say to us, this is rehabilitation as things stand. This is where we are with rehabilitation. We want to know what is the infrastructure around that, the issues of budget, as the DM is saying, and what are the bottlenecks for these kind of programs. because it, when you, you begin to indicate that rehabilitation is not just correction, correctional services matter. There are many other role players. We must be aware of that, so that we play that role. Whether there's police as role players and court and all of that, so that we attack the entire thing. But also to come back where you indicate exactly, once you identify what are these kind of problems that are prohibiting this department from shining on its core mandate, what would you propose as the actions? Because in that way, it will help us, because corrections is a big elephant. We've got to eat it bit by bit to succeed on it. And I think that there's a lot of connection in those three programs, Dilis and Dab, of rehabilitation, social integration, as well as community corrections. So that we see how much we all of us collectively attack that, and instead of just ticking the box on the same kind of issues. Not that others are not important, but this is becoming a key priority given the fact that it revolves around this being the mandate of the department. We'll come back to you about the details of what would need you to prepare, and then we can set time aside to deal with those. It's more work that we need to do than just malicious compliance to come in front of us, or we summoning you and so on. So it is all of us in this sector. So thank you very much. Thank you, members. I think at that point, I would like us to pause and adjourn our meeting until we meet next time. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Ah, this is
that. Thank you.
Yeah.